I would love to see more leaders taking the pause, reflect on the reality that we are seeding through our actions and through our behaviors, the way we think. There are a lot of things that we do without having the consciousness of the results of it. I'm sure that in the future we will look at it, certain solutions that we have even nowadays. We will look in the future and we say, how come did we do that? Because we are not conscious. So I guess in every moment we might not be conscious, of the consequences. The problems of today were solutions from yesterday. That's why I believe a lot in the power of learning through experience, much more than the traditional classroom, just knowledge sharing, We are lacking the relating piece.
Hello and welcome to The Empathizer, the podcast for more mutual understanding in our society. My name is Sebastian Kremser and I listen to my guests to understand what moves them. Today I'm listening to Raffaella. She's moved by the question, how do we meet people where they are? Especially when they have a different perspective on the global situation than I do, and how do we bridge the gap between different mindsets and overcome polarization? Her answer is empathy and non-judgmental openness. She talks about her concerns regarding sustainability and that she believes that nobody wants to destroy the world consciously. She believes that from her individual point of view, people always do what is right for them. She wonders what the people of the future will put in the museum about our time and ask how the people of today were able to behave the way they did. She believes that we have to experience the new in order to let go of the old, and for this we need psychologically safe spaces in which we can show ourselves to be vulnerable and ask questions. To do this, we need to experience relationships with others, because this triggers emotions, and through this experience we learn and become aware. And now have fun listening. Yeah, hello and welcome today in the podcast Empathizer, Raffaella. And as usual, I will ask you the same question as anyone in this podcast. What is the topic, the issue, which is the theme, which is moving you, which is important for you and meaningful for you, you would like to be heard with?
Yes, it's a good question. And I was sensing in the short conversation we had about how the podcast started and your intention of reflecting about empathy. And I guess what's alive in me now, today, at this moment, is how do we meet people where they are?
How do we meet people where they are?
Yes, in a way that we really create empathy and are able to find this commonality that will connect us to have a meaningful conversation.
Okay, and this is important for you because for you it's important to have a meaningful conversation and connection to the people.
Yeah, I'm reflecting about it because just yesterday I met some friends who work in the industry, and one is a professor at a business school, really renowned business school here in Brazil. And we were talking about these paradigms of thinking and what we want to nurture in the current moment of our society, but also the challenges of sometimes speaking about certain topics related to inner development, sustainability, ESG, with people who have a different mindset. So it's very alive to me now, this question of how do we meet people where they are, so that they have an open heart to talk with us although we might have different views, how do we connect with people with empathy, understanding also that they have a different view of reality?
Ah, okay. What I get is that it's especially about how to connect with empathy with people who have a different mindset, who are maybe out of our bubbles, right? And so I guess this could be, it's an interesting question for you because of this, maybe it's some kind of a challenge for you, or what?
And even if we think of a polarization that you've mentioned, this intention to start the podcast also because of how much polarization we see there out in the world. We are human beings that have contact with us different realities, different references, right? And we develop a way of seeing the world according to that exposure we have to people, to reflections, and so on, right? And very often we in our, like in our bubble, let's say we have this bubble where we met of the inner development goals, right? So we are surrounded by people that believe and understand that working in ourselves, so dedicating to self-knowledge and human development is important to challenge the status quo and to change things. But we are also surrounded by people who have not had the same opportunities or chances to look inside and have safe containers to reflect and listen in a different way and connect with people in a different way. So they have not yet experienced this, and they are perhaps in other bubbles where maybe the mindset is really guided towards capitalism and exponential growth and so on, right? But we also have a lot of things in common, don't we? Everyone has like a willingness to perhaps find a partner and experience love and maybe have a family or to travel, whatever it is. There are commonalities between us. And how can we meet people where they are and maybe find this topic that could be maybe a start for us to connect so that we create this openness to listen to each other and understand different views? Because what I see is that nowadays, with polarization and perhaps even when we think about social media and the algorithm, I think it reinforces a lot our own way of seeing the world, because we are all the time receiving information that somehow is corroborating or confirming what we think, right, through the algorithm. And then we become maybe, I can say we, but I think I often become a little bit resistant with other opinions. But I would love to talk about and explore this question of how do we meet people where they are in a way that we create this openness to talk with the other and understand their worldview, and at the same time feel listened to, share what we think, but in a non-judgmental way.
Okay. So for you, it's important. You are interested in the different perspectives and views human beings have, and you wonder how to connect with people who are different from your reality perceptions, perspectives. And what is challenging for you and to connect with them so that you have this question?
I think it's challenging sometimes. Let's say, for example, this concern about sustainability, right? Once we see that the way we've been doing things in the world is unsustainable, and that the planet is collapsing because of how we've been doing business and how we've been consuming. So I feel in myself a little bit of suffering by seeing these symptoms of our planet. It's like, okay, I can feel the planet is have a fever, you know? And so I recognize there is a symptom, but sometimes people just want to provide the medicine for it, and some want to understand the root causes. So what is causing this illness to develop? And there are some people who continue to expose themselves to the cold weather without wearing proper clothes, even though we can perceive the fever. But some people don't perceive the fever, or they don't want to recognize the planet has a fever, you know? So sometimes it's challenging for me, like to see that it's so urgent for us to act upon what's happening, but there are so many people who deny or who cannot see it or don't agree that it's an urgent topic and continue to operate the same way without stopping this behavior that is causing the illness, you know? So this is challenging for me sometimes because for me it's so obvious that when I'm relating to someone that does not recognize it, I find it challenging
It's
to
triggering,
empathize.
right? When I'm listening to you, a question comes up to me. It's like, what is important for the people who are challenging for you when you came up with your urgent observations about sustainability, and they don't go in resonance to that. And so therefore I was wondering, maybe something different is more important for them.
Exactly. It reminds me of the empathy walk from Otto Scharmer, right? When he asks us to really talk with someone that has a different view with this openness and deep listening and curiosity, exactly, to understand what is important for them, right? Because maybe there are different values also that are conducting this behavior. Or even this, the way they see the world, right? But also, I remember Frederic Laloux has this interesting video about for coaches and consultants on how to approach leaders. And his recommendation is ask them what they feel is working and what's not working. So somehow invite them to reflect and share what they perceive that is not working. And maybe what are your concerns, right? Because I can also understand that let's say for a leader that generates a lot of jobs, there might be a very big concern of this polarity of sustainability and profit and all the pressure they feel from shareholders. And all the jobs they create through the business they are running. So understanding this complexity is also important.
To understand them. And when I'm hearing this from you, what comes up in my mind is it sounds like l listening to them to understand their situation. And maybe then, instead of demanding a different behavior from them, maybe offering them support if they want to, if they are interested in a different solution too.
Yes, if there is a concern, right? Help them think what could be potential solutions.
And how do you feel about when someone says, I'm not interested in this, I want to make my business and my money?
Yeah, it's frustrating for me, but what I'm understanding right now is that we should knock on a door that is already open. If we knock on a door that is completely closed, then I will suffer of stress, you know, of trying to open that door if it's a shutdown. So somehow we need to perhaps focus the energy on those who are already questioning a few things and willing to reflect and understand and think of other possibilities. Because it can be quite frustrating. It's a movement that comes from the inside out, right? It's not from the outside in.
So what I get is for you is a sustainable development through inner development is important for you. And it seems to me that you realize it's nice to have this bubble where everyone shares a common purpose and perspective and sense in it. And then somehow there's awareness that we or that it's important to talk also to the people who are not in the sustainable and development, inner development bubble. They do their daily business and concerned about that the production and the cash flow works, right? So for you, it's important to reach out to them to open the space to talk about with them about sustainability through inner development. Good.
Yeah, I think, as I said, with those who are open. Yeah. Those who are open. That's a conversation I would like to see happening more often, and just like spaces for reflection of the way we've been doing business and the results we are harvesting from the way we or from this mindset.
Okay, so you would like to open the space for communication and to think about it and reflect current business models and maybe developing something new or whatever.
I would love to see Sebastian more leaders taking the pause, reflect on the reality that we are seedling through our actions and through our behaviors, the way we think. I would like to see more people reflecting because I think what is lacking is really this time to pause and reflect. Because very often we continue just to act without really thinking if that's the way we would like to, or that's what the if those are the things that we would like to be nurturing, seedling, the way we would like to be doing things, right?
I have a funny picture in my mind listening to you. It's like the one group is acting and the other group is reflecting, you know? And then there's a gap in between, yeah? Because the one group is reflecting about the acting of the others and they say, oh, this is the wrong way. But they are not, but the group of reflecting is not able to act, right? And the group who's acting does not reflect, you know, like this dilemma. It seems like a dilemma.
Yeah, I think it should be a loop, right? So you reflect and then you act
Act.
upon it because if we stuck also in just reflecting and don't act, we won't generate anything different, right? So I also feel it's important to act, but act from a place of higher intentionality. So having a clearer picture of what do you really want to promote? Is it aligned to your values? Do you really know what are your values? Are you happy with the legacy that you are creating in this time of your life, you know?
I'm curious. How do you feel about I guess this is what you actually want to do and do maybe in your daily business to create the space and reach out to come in this kind of conversation with leaders, I guess. And I'm wondering how satisfied are you about your acting in this way, and how do you have a fulfilled need of having an impact in this case?
I am happy with what I've been doing, and it also comes from my own moment from inner development. For me, the pandemic was a big moment of looking inwards and reflecting about what I would like to shift in my work, my business. So, as my professional background, I've been working for the past 18 years with human development through study abroad experiences. So, working with the youth, bringing foreigners to Brazil to do experiential learning programs. And I understand that's an activity that has a high carbon footprint, right? I'm promoting international travel. And a lot of things have shifted since I started to work with it 18 years ago, right? Right now, it's much easier to connect with someone from a different culture and develop relationships in an online environment like we are now. So maybe the need to go abroad has also changed with this technology we have. And I see also that a lot of programs that are out there are reinforcing somehow business as usual because perhaps there's not much space to explore new ways of doing things. And that was my reflection during the pandemic. What do I want to shift? And I already had that calling of bringing more the inner development components to these programs. And this is something that has shifted after the pandemic. But also then during the pandemic, of course, as I didn't have students coming to Brazil due to the limitations for travel, I started to use all these skills I have in facilitation to work with leaders in companies. So working with leadership development and hosting this safe space for meaningful conversations and dialogue and co-creation. And that's how I also got in touch with the inner development goals during this period of deep reflection of what I wanted to let go in my life and what new things I wanted to emerge, you know, or that were willing to emerge, not that I wanted, but they were willing to emerge. And so I'm happy because right now, as part of this reflection, we've also launched an immersive experience for leaders here in Brazil that we do exactly what I mentioned that is my intention to create the safe space for deep reflection, for a pause in nature, using tools and practices that help the leaders develop these skills that are needed to shift the way we've been doing things and the results we've been harvesting. So I'm happy to create this space, but sometimes I also feel I would like to do more. And at the same time, I have a little bit of reflection on the pace of things because perhaps also wanting to do more is a little bit of the pace of acting. So I also try to, okay, be patient and allow things to take it time the time it's needed. So yeah, it's kind of always also practicing self-awareness. What is the thought that is generating this feeling that I have at the moment?
Interesting. So there was an actually the impulse through COVID that you started to questioning and reflecting your acting because the context where you were working doesn't worked any longer. So you reflect how you would like to contribute and have an impact in what you are doing. So you something shifted in you. And the last thing you said, I find interesting because what's coming my it's coming up in my mind is when I'm listening to that is like, your intention is to reach out and get in contact with leaders so that to inspire them, I guess, to reflect their acting, maybe because of your experience you made some years ago. And then you have this feeling of urgent and to be faster and having a bigger impact. So and maybe sometimes then we tend to look outside and say, hey, you have to change. You know, I have this experience and I see it and you don't see it. Come on, let's go. And when I was listening to this, I realized maybe it's about if we have the feeling of we have to reach out, we have to have an impact to them, we have to inspire them, they have to develop to, maybe it has to do something with that we need something, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I also very often reflect about leading by example, you know, just through the choices I make, and that maybe it's more effective, even like through the choices I make and the way I do business, or the focus I decide to give for my career and so on. It's just an example that could potentially inspire others.
Yeah. Being a role model to inspire. This is the same what I do with the empathy, to inspire people for empathy, right? And I was thinking about, you know, when I imagine I know it too, I'm be triggered by someone else who has a different perspective and does not see a sense in behaving sustainable and is not willing to acknowledge my perspective, for example, and say it's all, everything is stupid. I'm thinking about, okay, what abilities I need to stay in contact either, you know, this is what I was thinking about. And then I'm in a development school somehow. Maybe it's endurance or patience or maybe clarity and courage to set a point, you know?
I think good questions are always something maybe we need to have, right? Good questions and deep listening. Yeah, this openness to listen with curiosity, letting behind the judgment. I think this is a quality that I always remind myself.
And at the same time, I'm wondering what is the concern behind, you know, when somebody says no to me, I'm not interested in sustainability and it's, for me, it's not important. What is my concern that I cannot be relaxed with this perspective, you know?
Yeah.
And to shift my perspective, okay, for what is his perspective good? Maybe. Or or I'm still just judging at that moment, this perspective is not good.
Yeah, that's a good question. And maybe there are other concerns out there, right? So it's important for us to try to step in the shoes and empathize with that person also, for what are the challenges they are facing.
And we got to know each other through the inner development goals. And one dimension is acting. And I have this question in my mind, like, okay, when we talk about inspiring leaders or whoever, the economy, are we aware that we are in the outside at that moment, that we want to change something outside, you know? And what is the inside topic at that time, at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Why this need also? Why this need of changing something? I think there is a big concern and a willingness to care. But I also believe that the person that has a different view also has another concern and another need to care, right? I like the Lotte quote that I read in when Peter Senge was going to give a masterclass to the IDGs. There was a quote from him that said, "The problems of today were solutions from yesterday."
Yeah.
So yes, I really feel also that many things that we are doing now, I really don't believe, and it's important to remember, that nobody wakes up I don't really believe that, there is anybody in the world that wakes up and say, I'm waking up today and I want to destroy the world, you know, the planet, and I want to cause harm. I don't think it is an intention of someone who wakes up, but perhaps because of this, the way of a person sees the world, they think they are doing the right thing, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Like I'm sure I was even having this conversation with my friends. They were talking about an experiment of creating the museum of the future. And what are the items that will be there in the museum, you know? And nowadays we see paints, for example, from bodies, you know, the women used to wear in old times to have a thinner body, you know?
Like the women in Moulin Rouge with this short.
Yes, like, you know, just like and make it very tight. So this is an item that we see, like, and we look at it and say, oh my God, how come did they used to use that on royal times, you know, the royal family and so on. But nowadays I was talking this with some female friends that we have this, and I guess it's very different in Germany and Brazil in this sense, okay? Because in Brazil there is a high focus on beauty and so on, and not as much in comfort. So until very recent, we used a lot of high heels. And now it's more common to wear sneakers, tennis shoes, you know, like to go to a bar and a restaurant, and we can use that. But until maybe 10 years ago, it was not a possibility. You need to wear high heels. And one of them was telling about a party they went, and that her uncle came, and all of them were wearing like short sandals. And he said, oh, you should be wearing high heels. And I was thinking of these, you know, 15 centimeters high heels. That problem, this is going to be an item in the museum of the future, you know? Because it's like unbelievable that we wear that. It's not healthy for our body. It hurts, it's painful just for being taller, you know? And I don't even know how we entered this topic, but the thing about empathy also, because what he said, you should be wearing high heels. It's such a comment that comes from a man who has never experienced or really stepped on that shoes, you know, how is it to wear high heels, you know? So there's no empathy at all. And thinking about this mindset of what the problems of today were solutions from yesterday. There are a lot of things that we do without having the consciousness of the results of it, you know? So perhaps we wear high heels because we were taught that you become be more beautiful if you are taller and it's more elegant. But what are the impacts of that in your column and a lot of those things like are happening today also. I'm sure that in the future we will look at it, certain solutions that we have even nowadays. We will look in the future and we say, how come did we do that? Because we are not conscious. So I guess in every moment we might not be conscious, you know, of the consequences.
And do you have the observation through what this social behavior changed? Do you have, so you said 10 years ago, and what has happened that this trend changed?
I think, for example, the pandemic was a big shift, right? In the way we dress, because we stayed at home. So we were putting more priority on being comfortable, and we were allowed to be comfortable in the clothes we were wearing, right? During the pandemic. So somehow we learned from experience that certain clothes that we used to wear are not good. I think, like, you know, like tight clothes and uncomfortable shoes. So this has shifted. Even nowadays, we were also commenting, my friends, about this possibility that we found out during the pandemic of connecting through an online platform and having a conversation and so on. How it has also impacted I think in a little bit of resistance that I feel nowadays of people making an effort to meet someone in person. So here in Brazil, we face a lot of traffic, for example, in big cities. And sometimes a friend of mine tells me, oh, let's meet. But if it's the rush hour, it's going to take 1 hour for me to go there by car. I will kind of, there is a little bit less openness to face the effort. And we are losing an opportunity also to relate more because, of course, it's different when you meet someone in person and you have this experience, right? And I really think, yeah, the pandemic has had a huge impact in the way we relate, in the way we dress up.
So you shared with me that the insight through the conversation is that the people has changed their style of shoes by making different experience, which feels more comfortable. And now I'm wondering, what's your perception when you reach out to leadership because con connected to the topic of sustainability and their business models, you know?
Exactly, because sometimes I think we need to experience the new, and the new that we experience will make the old obsolete. Right? There is this quote that says you don't change the old by
Yeah, when it's running.
But just saying it's old, you know, you change it by creating a new model that makes the old obsolete. So I really feel also, for example, when we talk about the safe spaces that we experience through our inner development bubble, you know, like when we have a meeting where we start with a grounding practice and we have a check-in moment where we are able to share how we are in the present moment and have this moment of self-awareness, how am I now? And cultivate presence and listen with curiosity and openness. This is not a common meeting out there in the business world, right? There are a lot of people who are talking over the other and so on. So how can we create those spaces for leaders to experience a new way of doing things also that is more caring, that involves more presence, that still focus on results, but just like to allow that experience to happen.
So to create a space where they can experience presence and create more awareness through that, right? So that they may be able to get more awareness about their daily behavior and business they do, right? Maybe this.
Yes, or maybe even experience a different way to relate to others, right? Because we know there is this studies, the study of the Aristotle project from Google, where they were investigating what made high performance teams was related to gender, age range, or but it was not. It was really about this space where people could be vulnerable, where they could ask questions, and so the psychological safety. And I think this is one of the desires I have, like really to create, to host those spaces. And that's what I've been trying to do here in Brazil.
I'm curious, and do you know where this desire comes from?
I think it comes from how I felt also by being in these environments. When I started my trainings in human development 10 years ago, exactly 10 years ago, and I started to experience these circles where people meet in a more horizontal way and with just, you know, the openness and curiosity. And the different quality of listening, I found something that made the old obsolete for me. And
Because of
I
this new
think
experience.
this new experience, and I just wanted more and more, and I never stopped doing trainings, you know, because it made so much sense. I wanted more meaningful conversations. I wanted more deep conversations. And it was hard also, like to to relate with people who were in the different operation mode, because it no longer made sense to me. And I feel this desire came from this, from experiencing. That's why I believe a lot in the power of learning through experience, much more than the traditional classroom, just knowledge sharing, It's really about an experience that brings you knowledge, yes, but also touches your heart somehow.
And when it's touching your heart, you can experience feelings, right? And this is more deeply, right?
And even if we think about art, right? I can watch a movie at home with Netflix, and this will cause an experience for me. But if I go to the movie theater and I'm there surrounded by other people who made the same choice to watch a movie with me, and suddenly I listen to someone laughing or someone crying, and I can be part of this field where other people are reacting upon a stimulus, this is an experience that is different. It's the same thing if you listen to music on platform or if you
In the
listen
concert.
to music in a concert, right? So the experience is a trigger of emotions. And emotions have the power of doing something different on the way we perceive things, and relate to what's happening around us. I really feel that we change the way we act when our mind and our heart is connected. And so,
Ooh, I have a resonance because of I'm thinking about COVID and the lockdown, and so actually this created a separation of people. For example, in my city where I live, Düsseldorf, there is over 50% of single households, and that means over 50% of people of citizens have been separated over a long time. And as I listen to you, this can create a shift to through reflecting your business and work, daily life you had before the lockdown, and coming to the clue that something has to shift and doing something different. And at the same time, it could also create this trauma of separation. And then I have this picture of a cattle farm, like industrial farming, when they in the cages, in the buildings where the pigs and chickens are in separate cages. And then I was just sensing, so what does it makes with human beings, you know what I mean?
Yes, I completely understand, because it's a need of human beings, to relate. We are a social species, right? And so it has caused a huge impact on many people who. And as I said, I feel we are still suffering the consequences of this period of isolation, because it's kind of, when you train a muscle, it becomes stronger. So we had a history of socializing more pre-pandemic, and for a while we didn't socialize as much or at all. So we lost the strength of this muscle of connection, of relating, and I'm super concerned about the youth
Yeah,
nowadays,
me too.
because with the screen, relating to others through the screen, through texting, voice messages, it's completely different than relating in person. And that's how also where we build our social emotional skills, right? It's through relating. And the youth nowadays, they don't have the same exposure to connecting and stimulus and
Because they haven't made the experience through COVID.
exactly. And with AI providing a lot of answers, also that they can easily copy and paste through a text message. I think, So, what's the future of our species, right? I thought that's there. I don't know. There is a Brazilian indigenous, Ailton Krenak. He has published a book that says the future is ancestral, which means that the future is going back to the roots, you know, of how we related or of how we used to live in the past. It's really going backwards, maybe somehow recovering certain ways we used to operate. And if we think of our ancestors, they used to have more quality time with others to relate more, you know? And we somehow, with the Industrial Revolution, we started to focus so much in productivity and how to make the best use of our time to produce. And we are lacking the relating piece.
So we did a lot of progress in quantity,
Yeah,
and now we
but not
need
in
the
quality.
quality.
Exactly.
So we are almost 50 minutes on the way. What is your conclusion now?
My conclusion, Sebastian, is that to change the way we do things, we need to slow down, relate more, think more, but also connect with our feelings. I'd like to appreciate your quality of listening. And there is even Nancy Klein. I've done this coaching training, the thinking environment, and it's about creating space for people to think by themselves. And she says that the biggest gift we can give to someone is our attention. So let's find more time to give attention to other people and to relate to other people.
Cool. Actually, you answered my last two questions I have. The first one is there something last you would like to add? And how was it for you to being in the podcast empathizer with me? And actually, you are, somehow you answered it.
Yes, no, it was super nice. It felt like a conversation with the free flow and yeah, the possibility to reflect, share, and learn from each other. So thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity.
Yeah, and thank you for your openness and trust to be my guest here too.
Yes.
That was episode 86. How do we meet people where they are? If you like the podcast, follow and rate it and share it with your friends on social media. And if you would like to be heard with something or give me a feedback, please write to podcast@empathieschenker.de. On that note, see you in 2 weeks.